Good morning, everyone. So hopefully everyone knows a little bit about chikungunya. We're just going to go over the basics really quickly. The first report of locally acquired chikungunya in the Americas occurred on the island of St. Martin in December 2013. Since then, over 1.2 million suspect and confirmed cases were reported from 44 countries or territories in 2014 alone. There were also numerous imported cases into the mainland U.S., as well as locally acquired cases in U.S. territories. Dengue, another arbovirus that is endemic to many countries in the Americas, had over 1.1 million cases, and all four serotypes of the virus were circulating in the Americas in 2014. These maps just show the distribution of chikungunya and dengue in the Americas, and you can see that many of the same countries were affected. This graph shows the clinical presentation of imported chikungunya and dengue cases in Florida in 2014. Only cases that were tested for both viruses at our Bureau of Public Health laboratories are included on this slide because we were able to better attribute certain symptoms to a specific clinical illness. You can see that they have very similar clinical presentations, with the biggest differences seen in the percentages of cases with arthralgia, headache, retroorbital pain, joint effusion, leukopenia, and thrombocytopenia. In addition to the symptoms shown on this slide, chikungunya can also cause chronic joint pain, and there may be a relapse of symptoms after the initial illness. Chikungunya and dengue are caused by two different virus families. They're the alpha viruses and flaviviruses, respectively. Co-infections of these viruses were first described in 1964 and in India, and it's really important that they actually belong to two different virus families because there's less cross-reactivity on the serological tests. Additional co-infections have been identified in areas where the distribution of both of these viruses overlap, and imported co-infections have also been identified in several countries. The same pseudospecies can be vectors for both viruses, with Aedes aegypti and Aedes albopictus considered to be the main vectors for these viruses. And co-infections are thought to be the result of two mosquito bites, not usually from one mosquito. These maps here show the distribution of imported cases of chikungunya and dengue in Florida from 2014. We did have over 500 imported chikungunya cases, which was much higher than our 83 imported dengue cases. But you can see from the slide that many of the same counties that reported dengue cases also reported the chikungunya imported cases, as well as many of the same areas for the local cases. So we used the Florida Department of Health Merlin reporting system in order to compare reported cases of chikungunya and dengue in individuals that had onset in 2014 through January 2015, and we used national case definition criteria to classify the cases. We were able to identify 20 people who had both a report of a case of chikungunya as well as a case of dengue. Five of these individuals were PCR positive for both viruses, which could indicate concurrent infections. Seven were PCR positive for one and IgM positive for the other virus, which could indicate consecutive infections, Only two of these individuals were able to actually give different onset dates for these infections. The remaining eight were IgM positive for both viruses and were only able to report a single onset date, so we were unable to determine their co-infection status. Of the samples that were PCR positive for dengue, we were able to identify all four serotypes. Our Bureau of Public Health Laboratories, which is our state lab, we have three of them now, and two of them do the arbovirus testing. Every time they have a sample come in for dengue or chikungunya testing, they'll actually test for both viruses. And so this is how we were able to identify 80% of these co-infections. This graph shows the testing results, and I could go into lots of detail, but we're just going to do a high overview. Three co-infections were only tested at the commercial laboratory, so they are not included on this slide since you can't compare their results. The diamonds represent our PCR testing and are plotted based on their CT value. The bars are the IgM ELISA results, and they're plotted based on their positive over negative ratio value. We did do IgG testing for ELISA for these viruses, but they're not included on this slide. What tests were conducted depended on the timing of sample collection, which ranged from 1 to 145 days after symptom onset. And the red dotted lines on the slides indicate the cutoff values for those assays. You can see that there was some variation in the antibody response to each virus, as well as the level of viremia, and not all PCR-positive cases had detectable antibodies. The travel histories for these potential co-infections were Cuba, Haiti, Jamaica, Honduras, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, India, and Mexico. So I'd only like to point out that the India case is the only one that's from the original chikungunya distribution. One of these individuals was a Puerto Rican resident who was visiting Florida. And many of the same countries shown here are also the same areas, countries, territories that many of the imported chikungunya and dengue cases had originated from. Most cases were visiting friends and relatives, 80% of the co-infections, and spent an average of 24 days outside of the country. In addition, the majority were white and Hispanic, and gender was split 50-50. Now, the imported chikungunya cases actually had a lower percentage of Hispanic individuals and had a higher percentage of black individuals than the other two types. Co-infections also had a higher rate of hospitalization. This graph here shows the clinical presentation of the co-infections, and you can see that they have very similar symptoms as what we had discussed previously. There were high percentages of fever, arthralgia, myalgia, headache, retroorbital pain, and thrombocytopenia. There were no reports of any severe symptoms or joint effusion. In conclusion, providers should consider both chikungunya and dengue testing when they're evaluating suspect cases with travel to areas where both viruses are present or are currently circulating. Public health laboratories were instrumental in identifying these co-infections, which highlights the value of public health confirmation of specimens. The low number of individuals reporting two distinct onset dates suggests dual, immediately consecutive, or asymptomatic secondary infections. And co-infections are most likely underreported due to incomplete testing ordered by the healthcare providers, asymptomatic infections, and not all individuals that are infected seeking healthcare. Questions?
Okay, any questions? Pulse Life Organ Health Authority. Thanks very much. Very interesting. Were there any combination of clinical findings that might suggest to a clinician to be especially suspicious of dual infection? I noticed that thrombocytopenia, for example, is very uncommon in chick, but very common in dengue, so maybe arthralgia plus thrombocytopenia. Did you analyze that?
Yeah, there really wasn't much difference, and really that's the only one that could potentially do it, but sometimes chikungunya cases are reported with lower levels of thrombocytopenia, so maybe higher levels of thrombocytopenia with arthralgia, but that also can be dengue, so it's really difficult for the clinicians to differentiate that.
Esther Ellis, who is Virgin Islands. I had a question about the seven that were PCR positive for one and IgM positive for the other. Were most of the IgM positives for dengue or for chick because of the problem with cross-reactivity with other circulating latent viruses?
It was actually a little bit of both. So, and any samples that we do, any that are dengue positive for IgM, we don't have a PCR. We do also, if we suspect it, test for West Nile too, because we have that in Florida.
And did you do PRNT?
Not all of these samples had PRNTs, but the ones that did were positive for both.
Okay, and just one other question, you're looking at behavior risk factors for the individuals that had co-infection?
Yes, so we did behavior for all the people for chikungunya and dengue testing. And basically, visiting friends and relatives was one of the biggest factors. And basically, all of the other factors were the same. We looked at people who maybe smoked outside or screened windows and doors and things like that. But when they're visiting these other countries, they have a very different way of life than we do here, as you probably know.
Great. Okay, thank you.